to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, is the automatically deleted husband? Automatically deleted again. Guess what I got today? You're going to be surprised. I don't think you're expecting it. I got not one, but two return postcards. And, you know, how normal. And unfortunately, it's quite normal. And you'll notice my wall is getting large. And that's why my plan is to use today for the image. Picture the wall, which I basically call the wall of hate. Because that is hate. That is really hate. You know, because, again, if he would have taken the cards, if my wife would have taken the cards and simply thrown them away, I wouldn't know. But to return them, I know. And what she is doing is giving me evidence of the hate and the violation of man's law, because one of the cards that arrived today was to George. It was George. Did you get the tie? You know, because I obviously sent him a tie a long time ago. The other was to Walter. So actually, the one that I got Saturday, whenever it was, a few days ago. Well, I can tell you because the images are online. I got it Monday from my wife. The one I got Monday, and again, you know, the list, the images of all the cards before they're sent and the return version, they're right here online for the world to see. You know, again, this is the idea of, you know, make your case, present the evidence. Well, here's the evidence. I wrote to Walter. Chris and I took pictures of each other at the top of Benton Falls. He was comfortable. And I was not. What are you like with heights? I want to know, my son. See, you know, because this is the photo. Yeah, because it really is interesting. Because we've been up there several times. You go up to, you know, again, we start at the bottom. Most people drive up to the lake at the top and then walk down for a mile. We start at the bottom and walk up 3 miles and up 2,000 feet in order to get to the falls. And we did meet people again, but anyway, that which is delightful, because but it's rare. But so you can walk down to the bottom of the falls and the top. It's like a 65-foot drop. But at the top, you can get to the edge. And, you know, we've seen people many times at the edge. You won't see me there. But the photo is of Chris, and he's standing maybe 5 foot away from the edge. And I took a photo of him. And then again, I mentioned this already. He took a photo of me, and there's a tree there, and now I'm hanging on. Because it's kind of like, I wasn't comfortable. And even though I exaggerated my face, I wasn't comfortable. I mean, because I'm just heights. No, I'm sorry. You know, like I said, I can do hit distance. I can't do heights. But, so... I sent the postcard to Walter because, again, Walter and Zadok, you know, I took the hike with Jack down to Walls of Jericho, but I haven't done that kind of thing with, you know, well, the thing I did with George was the trip to the Space Center. That was a long time where we did have a good bit of time together. And I've asked several times, would you please take the hike with me up to Big Frog? I think that would be marvelous for George and I to do that. We would take our time because it's a hike. But then, you know, Walter and Zadok, they're easily old enough to do it themselves, do it with me. And I would love to be able to do that. You know, it's interesting to think about that because what I heard today was a conversation about a gentleman who's been doing car repair for ages. And he feels like he's slowing down or getting old. And he's concerned because he sees a lot of people his age retiring. He's 61. He's kind of like, no, I'm sorry. You're a young guy. But anyway, you know, anyway. But so I took the picture of the wall because I put the new photos on, cards on there. So the two at the bottom right in the photo are the cards that arrived, well, yesterday, and so it's there in front of you. And what that keeps at the forefront of my mind, one, obviously is the picture of people I love. Well, the pictures behind me. These are picture people I love. And then the cards that have come back that are on the wall there, is a act of hate toward me. Why does that look different than the picture? I guess, I missed. I got too close with that picture because there's another card on the right there. Oh, the horrors. Anyway, but what I think about is because of what I do, what I've done. Again, as I try to research this, the idea of when you do something that is an offense to somebody, the offended party will be either go into a discouragement or depression, so you can kind of write them off because they kind of blah. They seek revenge, which now you have to make sh now you have an excuse to hate them and defend yourself from them, or they seek reconciliation. And when they do that, that's the worst thing of all to the person who did the offense. Because now the only way to reconcile is with repentance, with a confession. And when somebody has evidence of a wrong, that puts a huge weight on the parties that you're trying to reconcile with. And so, I mean, this is obvious, and that is why I continue to say that whatever I can to take that weight off. But at the same time, the reason I started putting the postcards on the wall is because the way to reconcile is to confess what happened. And then there's the mutual forgiveness. But not to simply forget it ever happened and not reconcile it. So the evidence is here. And because it's on so many videos, because it's been seen by a lot, the evidence is here. So the weight of reconciliation is going to be very difficult. But, and I think this is the important thing, if reconciliation occurs with my wife, with my kids, extended family, institutional church leadership, members of the institutional church that have been involved in various things. Reconciliation occurs with any one of them. The reconciliation will be intensely sweet because it's not, oh, we just let those things go away. The let bygones be bygone is Islam. It's not Christianity. It is first reconciling, paying up, the debt has to be paid. That is what reconciliation is. And again, whatever I can do to take it on, but it has to be confessed. And so it's an interesting situation, but if there's reconciliation with anyone, boy, it's going to be a wonderful reconciliation. And I want that, and I'm going to pursue that. But anyway, I do want to tell you also, because Chris has taken a 4-day weekend, so we got intense for a long time today. He started his 4-day weekend today, and hopefully we'll do a hike this weekend, maybe something modest because he feels, but still, and what do we do in the hike? Continue on scripture, but. We pursue some things that often we go back over and over again because we're refining in order to dig deeper. Because one of the things we've known now for a long time is when we examine Romans 13. Because it seems that for a lot of people, Romans 13 is the first seven verses and that's it. and the idea of submission to authorities. But he came up with a line, which I thought was great. What it's saying is, pay your taxes and don't revolt. It's a great synopsis, because that is, I think, a reasonable synopsis of what it says. Because again, fundamental idea there is we're called to submit, but we're not called to place authority over somebody or try to do anything of the selection process. We went on so many things in reference to that. Because the Romans 13 and the 1 Peter 2 are frequently used, the idea of that there is a call for the state. Read it. That's not what it says. We're called to submit to authorities. Again, LSV, 1 Peter 2:13, be subject then to every human creation because of the Lord, whether to a king as the highest, whether to governors as to those sent through him for punishment indeed of evildoers and praise to those doing good. But anyway, if you read that, you will see there's a whole lot of similarities between that and Romans 13. The issue is, if there's some, you take the idea that no authority except from God, so that the Lord places these authorities over us, which I will contend, consistent with Deuteronomy 17, you can ask, but the Lord chooses. So the idea, we have a democracy now instead of a monarchy, and so we can vote, the Lord chooses. The government we have in place is not because we've chosen it, it's because what the Lord placed in front of us. How does that happen? Obviously, not only is the heart of the king in the hands of the Lord, so is the heart of all the people. And so whether it's done by guiding people to vote, whether it's done by guiding the advertising, whether it's done by, fraud and so forth, the Lord is not saying, I didn't see that coming. No, it's orchestrated by him because he is sovereign. So when we look and we see, a state, and we don't like the state or the rulers, and we want to change that, that's not our job. Because if we try to change the state, one, we're not in submission to them, and two, by trying to change them, we're voting, we're asking for a ruler. We don't fall back to the idea that, we're going to have one anyway, so we might as well at least try to get the right ones. No, not at all, because the Lord chooses. But there's some of the obvious things. For the ruler is not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. And if you wish not to be afraid of authority, but be doing which is good, and you will have praise from it. But the interesting thing that I found out, because I didn't notice this before, it's not a terror to the good works or doing good. We want to do good things, right? But just like in English, there are multiple words that have similar meanings. Good, as in really good, is you. Which is the idea of, like, again, the evangelist. You, good, angelos, a messenger. So a messenger of good news. And the good news, the gospel, is really good news. I mean, this is something of excellence. In Romans 13, what we see also translated as good is the idea of being, useful, good, agreeable, joyful, happy, excellent, distinguished, those kind of things. It's a different kind of good. It's uh, the The you is, I think, a qualitative. This is really good. The you, or that's going to be not you. The good, the agathos in Romans 13 is more of a, isn't that nice? As opposed to really good. So, you know, this is the first time I ever saw that, but I found that fascinating. So, you know, because you wonder, okay, for really not a terror to those good works, but to evil. The rulers of the land, whether they're foreign or domestic, are a terror, especially, you know, to someone who's trying to do, well, be obedient to Christ. You know, so how does it relate to this? You know, take an obvious example that someone I've talked about before, because I've done the videos many times. Daniel Hale, who was in prison for doing a good thing, because he exposed what the government did that is wrong. John Kiriakou, who spent, I think, 2.5 years in prison for exposing the U.S. government tortures by policy. You know, so how do we say for ruling not a terror for the good works? Good, I would suggest, the implication here is in the eyes of the state, not in the eyes of the Lord, not because that's the qualitative good, as opposed to, I think that helps see that a little better because of the difference in the word. You know, for he's a servant of God for your good. Well, again, I think it's for your good in the eyes of the state, not in the eyes of the Lord. So, you know, and things like he does not carry the sword and bear the sword in vain, and one and an avenger for the wrath for him which is doing evil. It's not that the state is righteous. So, but, you know, because then you have the things, for this reason necessary to be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also because of conscience. For this you may pay tribute, pay taxes. So this is the pay taxes, don't revolt. For they are servants of God. They are servants of God because God is in control. So we're all servants of God. But when you look at the 1 Peter 2, you know, it's very similar. Whether to governors, those sent through him for punishment, indeed, evildoers, and a praise for those doing good. It is the same type of terminology. Because so is the will of God, doing good, to put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men. And I think the foolish men are the ones who say, we got to go change that. As free people and not having freedom as the as a cloak of evil, but as servants of God. So our freedom is not because we have a government that grants us freedom. We have a freedom in Christ, but we're subject to the authorities because of our sin. But, you know, it then kind of seems a little different. Give honor to all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Because I looked at that verse before. Give honor to all, honor to the king. It is, you know, because my recollection is the, if I recall correctly, give honor to all is in the aorist tense, meaning it's kind of like past, present, and future. You always give honor to all. Give honor. In other words, you place a value. A place of worth, which is what honor means. And honor the king is present tense. Because the king may not be in the past, it may not be in the future. It's just for today. Because we're talking about the king as in the earthly king. The king of kings is obviously always there. You know, but where it goes on in 1 Peter 2, servants, be subject in all fear to the masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the crooked. And remember, Richard Nixon, I am not a crook. Well, yeah. For this is grace to anyone who endures sorrow because of conscience towards God, suffering unrighteously. Why are you suffering? We're talking about crooked masters. We're enduring sorrows, but we're called to submit because they're there for your good. This is the same context, you know, because, again, be subject to every human creation. You know, so it seems like the point there is not to contend with them, but to be subject to them. For what renown is it if sinning and being battered you endure it? But if doing good and suffering you... For what renown is it if sinning and being battered? In other words, if you do something evil and then endure it, the battering, the punishment, you're getting what you deserve. But if doing good and suffering for it, you endure it. Endure, this is grace with God. In other words, if the authority mistreats you, punishes you unworthily, and so forth, this is grace with God. And of course, then, you know, it goes on with, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you may follow his steps. Who did not commit sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. Being reviled, did not revile again. Suffering was not threatening, and was committing himself to him who is judging righteously. For himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that having died to sins, that we may live to righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed, for you were as sheep going astray, but now you turn back to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, the overseer, the episkopos. Anyway, but Christ is our example here. And so if he's our example, what is he giving us an example of? Did he say, no, I'm going to change the government? No, he didn't. You know, again, people were looking for, oh, he's here. We're going to have a good king now and get rid of this Roman garbage and whatnot, these people who oppress us and whatnot. No, he didn't do a thing, and he's our role model. So following Christ, that means we vote. No, we do nothing. When the government approached him, he basically stayed silent. He did not have to defend himself. You know, so that's our model. Our model is Christ, not a political leader. And so, I really, again, as I mentioned, it's the consistent message. What is consistent? Our faith, our trust is in the Lord, not the state. It's the Proverbs 1984. We don't go there. It's our trust is in the Lord. I was wrong on this in years past, and I have repented. And in the grace of God, again, he's opened my eyes to see, hey, look, there's a consistent message here. There's a consistent message here. Our battle is not against the world. We trust the Lord to take care of the world. You know, again, Romans 13. What is Romans 13? A continuation of Romans 12. If possible, so as far as, giving back no one evil for evil, providing right things before all men, if possible, so as far as it is in you, with all men being in peace, not avenging yourselves, beloved, but give place for the wrath. For it has been written, vengeance is mine, I will repay again, says the Lord. If then your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome in the good the evil. You know, and so, you know, our work is not trying to change the government. Our work is simply, you know, giving, you know, feeding the hungry, and so forth. Well, I mean, that's the example you use, but doing good things, you know, because again, there was anyway. I'll stop. The point, I think, is our refuge, our means of support, our joy and our protection do not come from the state. Whether it's a monarch, whether it's a democracy, again, democracy and freedom are opposites. So it is a ruling authority. They have authority over you. Our hope, our protection does not come from there. Our hope comes from the Lord. Our provision comes from the Lord. So if you do something like turn to the Lord, to the state to protect you, you're rejecting him. You're disobeying him. How would you do that? Well, or especially if the state says, okay, I'm going to set down a decree and you must follow this decree, a law. And what would the law say? Well, if you abandon your husband still has the right to communicate with your kids. And if you are not allowed to censor mail, direct evidence, you violated man's law. You turn to the state for an isolation from your husband. You turn to this, and then you ignore the state's decrees. You know, you're working at both sides of your mouth kind of thing. This is a problem. And here's the evidence. You're trusting in the state, yet you don't obey the state. You say Jesus is the Redeemer. You don't obey Jesus. This concerns me. Because besides the pictures of the cards, there's the picture of the lady on her honeymoon. Because she and I are one. There's a picture of her as a young lady before I met her. There's a picture of her post her exit of my life. In all those cases, she's still the woman I love and adore. I loved her before I knew her. And I can say this because, you know, when I was late 20s, early 30s, you know, I was getting to know Christ and I realized, okay, if in the decree of God, there was going to be a woman who would become my wife, then she's walking the earth now. So what will happen when I become one with her? I would pray for her constantly. So start now. And that's what I did. I don't remember how many years, but it was years before we actually became married. I was praying for my wife. I didn't know who she was. That would be consistent with this photo here. She became my wife, which is obviously this photo here. And obviously my prayers for her continued. I would pray with her every night. We prayed together. It was a habit. Starting on our first day of marriage, I mentioned to her, my desire is to read and pray with her every day. And we did. And then this picture, after she abandoned me, my prayers for her continued. They're constant. Again, I jokingly say the Lord has sent me a bill for the constant request for the Lord to bless my wife. So, that lady is the woman I love and adore. I'm trying to show love to her. She's showing evidence right here on the wall. She hates me. What is the example of Christ? We by nature hate him, but by his grace, he turns some to say, no, you, I'm going to open your eyes, open your heart to grace, to love. And my fundamental commands to love the Lord and to love your neighbor, I'm going to implant that in you to live out to a degree, even though you're a flawed man or woman. He offers that tremendous grace to some. I hope that I will see that in my wife soon, because I love her. I had very little to say today, and I went on anyway. Dorothy Jane, my lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. I intensely love you, and I want you back.